All right. Welcome to another episode of the Take the Shot podcast. I'm Nick.
And I'm Alec. Nick, do you want to give him a little behind the scenes action on the pod, or do you want to just keep that to ourselves?
Fuck it. Let's just do it. We give them all the behind the scenes anyway. So basically, we started recording the first 30-ish minutes of the pod. Oh, man. Alec was on mute half the way through, so we just decided to re-record it. It should go a little bit faster this time. We can do it. So basically what we're doing today, we're doing two drafts. We're doing a college football draft and an NFL draft. We do have a scoring system for both of them. We will figure out the punishment for the loser at a later date, but we're doing both drafts today.
Nick, explain the scoring system for the college one, and then we'll just drive right into it.
Well, before we get to the scoring system, we are drafting 8 group of 5 teams and then 1 wild card non-group of 5, probably the one that we think that will make it to the college football playoff. So that last pick that we have, that's the group of 5. Yeah, they may not make it to the playoff and we may look dumb as fuck, but that is why that is there. For the college football draft, Alec did get the first pick. I had the second pick. We do snake it. All right, and now for the scoring system. Wins is 1 point. Playoff appearance, 3 points. Playoff win, 2 points. Conference championship, 5 points. National championship appearance, 10 points. National championship winner, 15 points. If you make a bowl game, you get a point. If you win the bowl, you get 2. So, potential for up to 3 points for bowl games. Do you want to start off with the college football draft?
Yeah.
Your first pick?
Yep. My first pick, as you guys should have guessed, because I've been hyping them up for the past however long we've been doing this podcast, is Penn State.
Is it the year that James Franklin actually wins a big game?
I am a stupid person, and I believe it is. Because, again, I am a stupid person. I do not believe in James Franklin, though. Let me point that out. I believe in the talent James Franklin has, that even they are talented enough to outdo their stupid coach.
Well, my pick, well, my second and third picks were Ohio State and Oregon. Ohio State, again, they still have an amazing defense. They got weapons on offense. Granted, the quarterback didn't look great this year, but again, they were also playing the number one team in the nation, so I'm sure he will look better in other games. You might also ask, why are we doing this? Why didn't we do this before? I did mean to do this for Thursday's pod, but I kind of forgot, so that's on me. But my next pick, Oregon, I know people do have some questions about them. Just with any of the top teams in college football, you're always going to be replacing a bunch of talent throughout. But yeah, they're always one of the top teams. And yeah, I guess the one thing you guys will miss out on this recording is our reactions of getting our pick sniped. But
well, to be fair, I sniped Nick most of the time. Yeah. He had like 2 or 3. In the NFL one.
That I more snapped him in the NFL. He snapped me in the college.
Yeah. I'm smart, though. Do you want me to do my picks 2 and 3?
Yes. Do your picks 2 and 3.
Okay. Well, I'm doing this one not because I think they'll win the Natty, but they're going to rack up a lot of wins in the regular season. I don't believe in the quarterback, but everything else is on track to be good because it's Georgia, and Georgia's always good. So I'm picking Georgia, and I'm also picking LSU, which I don't think I would have picked them that high without seeing what they did last night. But I do believe in Garrett Nussbaum. He's a pretty good quarterback, and I'm interested to see how he grows this year. So, Nick, what are your picks for the next round?
Yeah, so my next picks were Texas and Michigan. Again, Arch Manning didn't look great in game one, but I thought he would have looked a little bit better because he at least did have a couple starts under his belt. That's why I was expecting him to look a little bit better than Julian Sain. But, yeah, his granddad may be right. He may not be going to the NFL this year. He may need to stay another year in college, but
another year, more like another 2.
And we'll see. And we'll see how he progresses throughout the season. He's got a lot of talent around him, and he was also playing the best team in the nation. So they got a softer part of their schedule coming up, so that's where they can iron out the kinks and hopefully get him in a rhythm. With my next pick, I took Michigan. Probably a little bit of reach on that one, but...
Well, you picked him because you didn't think what my next pick would have been was my
pick.
Yeah,
I was kind of... I was kind of holding out, but also just seeing Clemson last night, I just kind of lost some faith in him, and... Yeah. But I'll let you take it away with your next pick.
Well, it goes against everything in my being to do this because fuck Dabo Swinney and fuck Cade Klubnik because I called that. But they're going to rack up a lot of wins in a shitty conference. Sorry, Alec. The ACC is bad. It's Clemson. Clemson's my number four. Number five, they've looked pretty strong. They blew out a good FCS team. A big test next week against a Big Ten team that I think is bad, but I always think they're bad and they somehow end up with 10 wins.
They have a good defense, though.
I'm taking Iowa State.
That is who I wanted. That is one of the picks that he did snipe me. So then with my next pick, I went to SMU. Just kind of going along his ideology. That is the word I was looking for. ACC, not the greatest conference, but SMU, they might have a chance to rack up some wins and maybe make another playoff appearance. And one thing people may not realize, SMU, they do have money. So, yeah. Oh, yeah, and my next pick was Miami. Also, another ACC pick. I also do not believe in that quarterback. We are also recording this before the Notre Dame... Miami game. So we have not had a chance to see Carson Beck yet, though he was highly touted. And we will see if Miami has any defense this year, but apparently they should.
So we'll know see. What I just noticed, Nick? Neither of us picked Notre Dame.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up at the end. Yeah. But yes, we chose to stay away from the Catholics.
So my next pick was always going to be SEC based. Now, could there be some prisoner of the moment things and not going with Bama because of how Bama looked yesterday? Maybe.
Oh, yeah, none of us went with Bama either.
I believe? And it basically became down to Tennessee or Ole Miss. And I went Ole Miss because I love Lane Kiffin. And I believe in Lane Kiffin. Not to win the big game, but to rack up a lot of regular season wins.
Also, just like hit on a lot of co-eds.
Yes. And so I went Ole Miss. And my next pick was another one I sniped Nick on. Yes. Their quarterback is super fun. They're going to rack up a lot of wins in the Big 12. Not sure if they're going to win the Big 12, but I'm hedging against Iowa State a little bit. I'm taking Utah.
Yeah, I'd say they got a chance to win it. So I needed a shot at a chance to win the Big 12, so I went with Texas Tech. They had a pretty good offensive day against a very shitty team, but hey, you'll see a lot of that week one. And then maybe a prisoner of the moment, but... They had success in the transfer portal 1 year. Didn't work last year, but also their quarterback was shit last year because I never really believed in DJU. But I went with Florida State. Well,
and with my last pick, seems like a dog. Before my wild card non-Power 5 conference pick, my last pick was, of course, Nebraska. If I'm going to sit here and talk about them and hype them up, I'm going to put my mouth where the money is, even though this is not for a money prize. Nebraska can rack me up some points on some wins, and who knows? Maybe they could be in the title game this year if they get enough wins and enough shit happens to the rest of the league. I don't know. Maybe even the back half of the playoff berth. Who knows? Probably not, but fuck it.
Yeah.
My group of five pick is UNLV.
They did look good Friday.
They're 2-0. Only 2-0 team on our list. Actually, never mind. Ohio State or Iowa State is 2-0 as well. So right now, I'm in the lead.
Oh yeah. And then my last pick was Tulane. They got old quarterback from BYU, and they could be good this year. So we will see how that does. And we could look very dumb with their group. Well, I guess. And if they don't make the playoffs, they most likely still make bowl games. So
yeah,
look decent there.
I like my draft. I like this draft a lot more than what you guys hear about the NFL one. But to recap, my teams were Penn State, Georgia, LSU, Clemson, Iowa State, Ole Miss, Utah, and Nebraska, with UNLV as my wild card, rounding it off.
Okay, and now my 9 teams are Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Michigan, SMU, Miami, Texas Tech, Florida State, and then Tulane. Actually, I forgot Florida State's in the S. Oh, I have 3 teams.
Sucks to suck, Nick. Sucks to suck.
I got 3 Big Ten teams, 3 ACC teams, 1 SEC, 1 Big Ten. Yeah, you know, but whatever. They'll probably, well, see how it works out.
Well, to transition into the NFL draft, Nick had the first pick for this one. Nick, tell us why you picked your first team first.
Before we go into the NFL, I'll just explain what we did here.
I guess I'm not allowed to drive the show, guys. I'm sorry. Nick, please explain the draft or the point process.
At least explain what we're doing before.
That's why he drives the show, guys. That's why he drives the show.
Got to make sure that they know what we're dealing before. All right, so in this, since the NFL is on 32 teams, we drafted all 32. College, there is a fuck ton more teams, and I'm not drafting all 130-plus FBS teams because, honestly, there's some of them I probably don't even know. but, yes, we drafted all 32 teams, and for the scoring system with the NFL, we do wins 1 point. Division, so 1 point per win. Division winner, you get 3 points. If you win the conference, and conference winner by regular season win, so basically you get that first round bye, you get 5 points. If you make the playoffs, you get 2 points. If you make the Super Bowl, so actually win the conference championship game, you get 10 points. And if you win the Super Bowl, you get 15 points. And then, with that, my first pick was the Ravens. Would you like to tell them who your next pick was?
Yep. I knew going in that my first two picks were going to be one AFC team and one NFC team to kind of fuck Nick over. And it was either the AFC team was either going to be the Bills or the Chiefs. And I'm a big Josh Allen believer this year. Josh Allen and the Bills were my number one pick. The NFC is kind of ass because I don't really believe in the Lions. And there's really no one else, I think, that can threaten the Eagles. So I went easily with the Eagles.
Well, just since it's on the TV right now, I guess I'll probably be exposing myself as a non-ball knower. But just realized Tommy Castellanos was black. But yeah, shout out to him. all right, my next picks were the Chiefs, because obviously they're probably going to win the division again, and I went with the Lions. Yes, there may be some drop-off because of the coordinators, but those teams are still extremely, or both sides of the ball are still extremely talented. So I will risk it and put it out there because I think they definitely have a chance to not only win their division, but to also win the conference and make it to the Super Bowl.
And with my next picks, this was kind of a struggle because I feel like the fall off from the elite pit teams is pretty high in the league. But for this one, I kind of just wanted to pick a division winner, and I think this is a pretty easy division winner pick. It's the Texans. Yeah. The other pick, I think they're going to win the division as well. It's the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I feel like these were definitely reaches for division winners. With my next two picks, I just decided to try to win a division and also chose some teams with some upside. And if by that description you guessed the 49ers and the Rams, you would be correct. I am trying to take that division, and I both believe that they do have Super Bowl upside. Matt Stafford's back is the biggest pivot point, or whatever you want to call it. I guess biggest X factor for the Rams. And then the 49ers, I would say their biggest pivot point is probably their health, because for some reason that team is always injured and never healthy. But both teams do have Super Bowl upside, and the Rams are also one drive away from making it to the Super Bowl. People may or may not forget, may or may not remember that, but yeah.
Yeah, and this pick is kind of in the Clemson realm of picks right here. Nick left him on the board, and I feel like I had to take him even though I hate them. It's the Packers. The Packers were my next pick. After that is a team that Nick hates for reasons that I don't really understand because he hates the quarterback.
it's the Chargers. I think the Chargers will be the second best team in the AFC West, and they're going to make the playoffs. So I don't hate them.
They're just the Chargers, and nothing good ever happens for them.
Again, this whole thing about it's kind of similar to the whole Nebraska thing. Like, we got to stop having these things go into the next year. Yes, the Chargers' history of the organization is fucked. It's stupid. They have Jim Harbaugh and a decent quarterback. It's bound to change at some point. Why do we keep doing this?
Okay. Does the fact that they're starting left tackle, who they just signed to the biggest tackle contract,
that is a concern.
Of all time,
that is a concern. But
just went out for the year.
Okay. Yeah, but that has nothing to do with the Chargers' history. He just stepped the wrong way, and he's a big boy who tore his ACL. Like, that happens to any. That can happen to anybody.
Chargers history. You want to know how Justin Herbert got started?
That can happen to anybody, Nick.
But it only seems to happen with the Chargers.
Okay, but Pat Mahomes could be on a walk today, and his Achilles could pop. Like, it could happen to anybody.
Except it just seems like it happens to the Chargers more than it does any other.
And it's bound to change at some point. You know how shit the Chiefs were before they got Pat Mahomes.
I feel like. I don't know. The Chargers just feel like a constant.
You know how shit. Look at the Chiefs' record in like the 2000s, the 90s before they got Pat Mahomes.
It looks like it's porn in Miami. But yeah. It's okay. I still have my biases, but.
All right. Who's your next pick?
But the fact that he did pick the Chargers did leave it open for my next two picks. My first pick was the Commanders. And. Because I believe that they do have a chance to win that division and the conference as well. Just depend on how good Jaden Daniels is. And then my next pick, who I actually think will be the second best team in that division, the Broncos.
And
let me guess, the reason why you don't believe the Broncos is because of their quarterback, Bo Nix.
Yeah, Bo Nix sucks. I'm sorry, guys. He sucks. See, that guy's bad. He's Mac Jones. He's going to have a bad season this year.
We all got our biases, and your bias is against Bo Nix.
Yeah, but he's not good. That's the thing.
Hey, I don't think he needs to be that good. He's got a very talented team around him, and as long as he doesn't throw the ball over, they'll have a shot.
Debatable. Okay, well, my next picks were kind of – they're going – I think one of these teams makes the playoffs, the other doesn't, and the other is kind of mid. It's the Steelers and the Bengals.
He was hedging my number one pick. But, yeah. Steelers and the Bengals. Oh, I did snap you with my next pick because I – do believe that there is a chance that they could steal the division from the Bucks because it is the NFC South and you never know what happens. The Atlanta Falcons. They should be pretty good. I actually have a pretty good feeling about their offense. I think they should be good on offense and the defense can't be worse? ? But yeah, the Falcons. And then my next pick, another upside pick, another guy you hate, Jaguars. We'll see if Liam Cohen can do to Trevor Lawrence what he did to Baker Mayfield, and he can turn the offense around. And again, also the AFC South, so they got a chance to take that division as well.
And my next pick was a team that Nick doesn't see the love in, but I've been hyping up for the past year of saying they're better than people think they are.
And I was also
and
saying
so is the quarterback.
Fucking love this team.
It's the Cardinals.
The nerds will not stop talking about the Cardinals.
And my next pick after that was a team that I think will finish second in the NFC East and be a big surprise this year. It's the Giants.
Yeah, that was a bold pick. As you've seen in our draft, there are some unlikely droppers. And this one, we probably let him drop a little bit too far, but hey, I still got him where I got him, so I'm feeling great about it. I got the Vikings, and I believe I also snapped you with this pick, the Patriots. They are in an easy division. The odd chance Josh Allen gets healthy, they may actually have a chance to win it, and
That led my next pick to being the Dolphins, because I wanted to NFC East team that would finish second. I don't know who's going to finish second between the Dolphins and the Patriots, but Nick picked the Patriots first, I believe, in the variable bump, so I went with the Dolphins. And I would like to note that I think the Vikings are going to finish last in the NFC North. The only reason the Bears have dropped this far is because I knew Nick wouldn't pick them, and I'm being strategic. And yeah, I don't think the Vikings were a good pick by Nick because I don't think they're going to have a lot of wins this year. But my next pick after the Dolphins was the Seahawks because I think the NFC West will not be that good and all these teams will beat up on each other. And I don't believe in Sam Darnold, but the Seahawks have a decent roster. It's not, I don't think they're going to bottom out.
And I do believe in that Mike McDaniel defense. I think that will be a constant for them. I suppose the biggest question will just be what happens with the offense and do we actually get a good Sam Darnold year or do they bench for someone else? And then just addressing the Dolphins. He also chose the most injured quarterback in the NFL and the one that...
Again, listen, someone's got to win some games in the NFC East.
That
so
is true.
Or AFC East.
I just did not want to put my faith into it because if he plays a national TV game, watch out.
Well, I mean, would you rather have them or the Jets?
I would rather have... To be fair, I guess
they... Again, they have Justin Fields as their quarterback.
The unit,
he can get
of those
injured
four
too.
Units, the unit I believe the most in would at least be the Jets' defense. But
I think Dino's offense is pretty
good.
The run game,
going
pretty good.
To my next pick, I got the Raiders, who I believe won't be... God awful this year. At this point, we just need some wins. And then another team that I don't think will be as bad as people think is the Panthers.
Yeah, I would have picked the Panthers here with my next pick. But kind of similar track on what he thought. They could get some wins in a shitty division. I think my next pick can do the same thing in the AFC South. It's the Colts. Daniel Jones is a shit quarterback, but he's a serviceable bad quarterback. He's not going to go out there and be a dumpster fire garbage. Like,
I mean,
I'm going to lose the game.
The guy who at one point had more pick sixes than he did touchdown passes.
Again, but Nick, he's better than Anthony Richardson is right now as a quarterback. That's
right,
a fact.
Better than he is right now, but at least with Anthony Richardson.
But they're trying to save their jobs. They're both
trying to
save their jobs, and
they
do have some talent. So, and they're in a bad division. So.
Yeah.
They could get some wins. My next pick after that, at some point, I had to take him because I didn't want... I think Nick would have finally taken them if I didn't take him at this point.
Yes, I would have.
I'm picking the Bears. And I think they'll rack up some wins. Their schedule's tough. First-year head coach. Second-year quarterback. They can be a boomer bust team, but I think more than likely they'll just finish in the middle with like 7, 8, 9 wins and not me in the playoffs. But... You rack up points on the wins, and it's better than any other remaining teams anyway. So
that is
the
debatable. Another bad vibes team that just dropped, and the value was too good. And I called them Bengals light because I believe the defense will be equally as shitty, and the offense will be good, but probably not as good. The Cowboys.
Can I just say, I was never picking the Cowboys no matter what out of principle because fuck Matt Eberflus, their defensive coordinator.
He is a good defensive coordinator. The down on
defense.
That's
debatable. Fucking soft-ass coverage.
Whatever. He saved the Bears season with his fucking defense, even though they should have fired him still. When
he did not save shit. That defense was ass.
Bro, I'm talking about the year before. Like, the year before they got Caleb. Like, that second half of the year. The defense actually turned around. It was good.
Oh, yeah, when he fucking ruined Justin even more than he was.
Yeah, but somehow it saved his job, and then he still lost it again.
Well, that's because the Bears are stupid and run by idiots.
Yes.
More than Matt Eberflus being smart.
Did I or did I not say that they should have fired Matt Eberflus?
I said the same thing.
I'm like, if...
Who's your team after the Cowboys?
Yeah, Cowboys and then Titans. Tighten up. Cam Ward, he's a dog, and... pretty much anyone over Will Levis is an improvement, so that's at least got to be worth like 2 or 3 extra wins.
Now, I probably would have picked this team, over the Titans, but I would have definitely taken the Titans over my last team I picked. The first team I picked was the Jets. I probably would have, like I said, I probably would have taken them over the Titans just because the Jets are in a shit division. Justin Fields can win you some games. He's a serviceable quarterback.
Not a shit division.
Yes, but there's a rookie quarterback with a bad team around him. The Jets, Justin Fields, while not a good quarterback, he's serviceable just like Daniel Jones is serviceable in the same way.
I think we just have two definitions of serviceable.
Serviceable meaning he's not going to go out there and throw 7 pick sixes.
Oh, okay. Well,
like
sorry,
a rookie could.
Not everyone gets the chance to be Nathan Peterman.
Well, yeah, exactly, but I'm taking the Jets, and then
I think their record is going to be worse than the team I gave to the Nick, but morally, I had to take a stand as a lib. Deshaun Watson can be nowhere near my list on the organization, so I took the Saints. I took that L. Spencer Rattler, I kind of like you too, so go light the world on fire before you're benched in week four for Tyler Shuck or whatever the fuck his name is.
I will say I do like the Saints' talent.
You would be the only person in the world to say that, Nick. I'm proud of you.
I'm not saying I like love the Saints' talent. I do like the pieces around the Saints. The biggest question is just that quarterback position. And I believe that is probably why a lot of their players fell in fantasy this year, like Chris Olave or Shaheed. Kamara probably didn't see as big of Kamara. I feel like Kamara saw a drop, but probably not as big as a drop as the other two. But yeah, it's just that question of quarterback. We have no idea if any of these guys are good, and they may both suck, but I do like the pieces around them. And then the Browns, kind of the same thing as the Saints. Like, the offensive pieces around the Browns, much worse than the Saints. I actually like the offensive pieces around the Saints more than the Browns. I do like the Browns' defensive pieces more, but they are also in a tough division, and I don't know if they probably won't have a chance to really rack up too many wins. But hey, if they get more wins than the Saints or the Jets, that'll put me in a good spot. Plus, usually there is a surprise team that probably wins like 5 to 7 games that we think is gonna be shit. So who knows? It could be the Browns, it could be the Saints. We the Jets.
Nick, before we get out of here and take our shots, give me your top three observations from college football week number one.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we did do this earlier in the pod, but we did forget to do that. So my first observation was, Kate Klubnik asked.
Who was right about that?
Yes.
Thank you.
Right. Also, second observation was, Arch did not look as good as I thought. I thought he would look a little bit better because he had some starts underneath his belt. Julian Sain, that was his first game. But, again, still a long season. College football, the team that you have in September is way different than the team that you have in December. So we'll see how he's able to progress throughout the season. And they'll probably make the playoffs, so we'll see how it goes. And third observation was, Florida State might actually be good. They did have a lot of success in the transfer portal 2 years ago, not much success last year. They did have a very good game last year, although I did not like how passive they were playing it in the second half. And also, Kalen DeBoer, you may need to find a new job, and you may also need to hire some security. But yeah.
Yep, and my number one observation was right off that, Kalen DeBoer, go in the witness protection program. They will find you. Just disappear. It's going to piss me off when he gets hired by some shit Big Ten team and then he straps a rocket to him because he's a good coach. He's just in a bad situation who was destined to fail. But hilarious to see Bama fans sad. That's funny. My number two observation, New Mexico. Their coach, big boy, he's a unit, just like coaches should be. Now, get rid of this Matt Rule getting skinny shit. I love you, Matt, but I wish you were fat.
How is that skinny, though?
Did you see him in that polo? Dude, he was wearing a way too tight polo, but he looked kind of jacked.
I don't know. Maybe. You pay more attention to him than I do. So.
Of course I do. I love that guy. My number three observation was Garrett Nussmeier. Pretty good. I like him. He throws a pretty ball. Think LSU is going to be really good this year. They just have Brian Kelly to get overcome. A lot of teams are successful, and their coach sucks. So, could see one tonight with that same track with the Notre Dame Miami game. But my outside looking in observation, because I know people are asking for it about Nebraska, Cincinnati, survive and advance. That's all I'll say. Survive and advance. Get to week 4, 3-0. Then we're off. All right.
Alton State.
Oh, that's Friday's. That was your Friday observation. Shout out to them. Mine was, Baylor. I think you're going to need a new coach after this year. And my Thursday observation was obviously survive in advance. And also, by the way, Boise, yikes.
To be fair, I did not watch any football on. Oh, I did. I did call the Boise thing. Well, I didn't call it, but. Oh, you did I not tell you about the humidity thing?
Okay, yeah, but did you think they're going to get their asses ran off the field?
No, but I said it was a chance that they could lose.
Okay, yeah.
No.
Did you, but again, did you think they get their asses ran off the field?
No, but I told you that they had a chance to win.
That's fair.
Even the announcers even brought
it up to. I'll give you credit for that, but I don't think if they would have lost 31-28 and they were gassed at the end, that's one thing. But they got blowing the doors off of those guys.
Also, that Florida or South Florida QB boy, that dude's kind of a tank. He's running on them.
Yeah,
on those boys.
I love when they just have a fucking athlete back there who looks like a linebacker. And just fucking Haynes King, dog. I love that guy. He's a shit quarterback, but I love him.
Yeah, I guess for the college football draft, we did kind of address it, but neither of us did pick Notre Dame or Alabama. So if anyone's listening, though, we'll come at us in the mentions for those. I just was never picking Notre Dame, and
I'd pick Notre Dame before I'd pick Bama.
I would pick Bama
first. I think Bama. Bama is a – Kalen DeBoer's a good coach. I'll say that again.
Yes.
Once that – I've seen it before, Nick. We've all seen it. Once that – it's going to reach a boiling point, and they're going to pay a lot – the kids are going to pay a lot of money to play. And the thing about this is, yes, since the playoffs are expanded, one loss doesn't necessarily kick you out of the playoffs anymore, but two – pretty much almost does. Three, your season's done. And at Bama, it's playoffs or bust always. And if they get to three losses somehow early in the season, that shit could spiral, and it could spiral fast because they don't come to take L's. They come to win. And when they don't come, problems start to arise. So.
Okay.
But, Nick, what is your shot?
Nope. We can't. I will not let you duck this. We did not talk about the big news because it happened after we recorded.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Micah Parsons to the Packers.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Well, I don't have an opinion on it. I think it's... You won't like this because I know you love Jordan Love, but I don't like Jordan Love. I think it's like literally just like the Bears trading for Khalil Mack when they had Mitch, and they bet on Mitch, and that was a stupid bet. On the surface, trade was good because Khalil Mack was successful, but it would only be successful if they got deeper in the playoffs and they had one playoff run with the dude. I think the Packers are in the same boat. Jordan Love's not good.
Your NFL draft picks begs to differ.
Okay, yeah, that's just for points, man. I don't think they're going to win the playoffs or win the Super Bowl.
I believe with that boy Micah Parsons, they definitely have a
chance. And honestly, I'll say it right now. I think the Bears finish over the Packers in the division. And the Bears have no left tackle. And they have to go up against Adrian Hutchinson, Micah Parsons.
The Bears will not finish over the Packers. I would.
I'm telling you. They will.
Do we make a pod bet on this?
No. No. We can make an off the pod bet.
Okay.
No, we can't. I'm going to stick to my guns. I don't bet on my own teams. I've told you that all the time. Because they already piss me off even when they're good. So, I mean, fuck. I love the Cubs. The Cubs are on track for 90 wins. They're losing to the Rockies right now. Fuck them. Would never bet on them.
Go Rockies.
Fuck you.
hey, the Rockies stadium's nice as fuck, though. Yeah, that's the only Major League Baseball stadium.
Exactly. But. What a take. But, so no, I'm not going to bet you on it, but I think it's a good move in a vacuum, but in the long term, nah, because they don't have a quarterback.
I think they do have a quarterback. Is he an elite quarterback? No, but is he top 10? I think he is. And I think they might have a chance to win the Super Bowl. At least they have a chance to begin the NFC. We'll see if they're able to beat out the Lions. But right now, I think with that trade, they kind of put themselves a step above the Vikings, at least for certainty. The Vikings will live or die with how good JJ is.
But the problem, the thing, Nick. The only quarterback safe team in the league right now, or in the division right now, is the Lions.
I'm not 100% convinced of that, but
we don't.
That's probably the most safe.
Do you think Jordan Love? Can you say with confidence Jordan Love will be an above average quarterback this year?
Yes, because I think he's top 10. So I'm already above top 10.
What has he done in his career to be above top 10?
I think he's He's shown some stuff.
In like six, he had six good games.
He's had some injuries, which have kind of like held him back. But I actually think he is. I think this year he'll like prove himself as like a for sure like top 10 quarterback.
Yeah.
Granted, he is kind of injured with his non-throwing hand, but we will see. I believe he'll be good, and I believe the also more just paying for Cowboys fans because. In one span of less than a year, you traded both Luka and Micah Parsons at age 26, two generational players, and you kind of traded them for pennies on the dollar. Yes, in the NFL, okay. You got an extra first-round pick, but those are probably going to be in the 20s, if maybe not the 30s.
Okay, here's the problem. While I agree that both trades from their side was stupid, Luka clearly has some issues he had to work out that... The propaganda out there is going to tell you that now he's skinny and he's in shape and he's working hard.
Yeah.
But during the season, what did we say? We said, I can kind of see why Nico, what his thought process was there. This one, for any NFL player.
Yeah, no one knows what Jerry's thought process was on that.
Well, no. Also, well, Jerry's stupid. But also, Nick, any player, if you're paying that much, any player who's not a quarterback, and even quarterbacks, they're one play away from their career being over and in football. Like, Luka could go tear his ACL.
Again, you could say that about...
Luka could go tear his ACL. Okay, but Luka could go tear his ACL, and with the way medicine is in that right now, he may lose a little bit of his game, may not come back the same exact player, but he'll still be a decent player.
Yeah.
We've seen that time and time again. You can get fucking paralyzed in football, like, the snap of a finger.
But that also doesn't happen often.
It could. There's been players that have been...
Chances out there, but...
I mean, look at Rashawn Slater, the Chargers left tackle. What'd they do? They paid him all that money, and in preseason, he went down already. Yeah. Micah Parsons could get back for the first practice. His back could fuck up again, and he could never be the same player.
I don't
it's what
know
happened.
How much that back injury is.
Khalil Mack dealt with some injuries with the Bears.
Hey,
and on the surface, Khalil Mack, for his first year, complete dominance. Second year... Had some injuries, was still good. He was a pro bowler, really good, but he wasn't as dominant, and he slowly fell off. Still good. He had like 20 sacks last year. Great season. But what? It's not dominance like he was that first year. So it falls off quicker in football.
It definitely falls off quicker, but if they get a couple good years, if they get like three to four good years of Parsons, like they get the money's worth.
They have to win a Super Bowl in the next 2 years. The Packers do. Otherwise, they're fucked. Because their cap room's going to be fucked.
Yeah.
And Jordan Love's just going to
I'm also convinced the NFL cap's fake, so.
But at a certain point, it's real when you have the... If Jordan Love is what you say Jordan Love is, he's going to get paid out crazy. And then they have to do that with Micah Parsons' contract? That's hard to do. Even though you think the NFL cap's fake.
The NFL cap is fake. I do not know how that thing works. I don't know. Because you always can just, like, fucking renegotiate shit and just push it back and push it back. Like, it literally makes no sense.
I don't know, Nick. I'm just telling you. I don't think... It's a good trade.
Can you explain to me how the NFL cap works?
No, but I don't... That's not my job. They pay big money for cap strategists and
that is
experts
why
and shit like
I'm
that.
Convinced the NFL cap is fake.
Well, you have never looked
no
into
one,
it, though. That's
I have,
the problem.
I've tried, but I don't... I just think the NFL cap.
Well,
I know it's not fake, but it's very what is the word?
I mean, you can move money around.
It seems like very creative accounting.
Well, that's
the
what
NFL cap
is
very
life.
Creative accounting. By creative accounting, I mean fraud.
Well, Nick, take your shot.
Before I do take my shot.
Oh my god. every time he wants me to drive the show, he's like, before I say this, before I do that, and if I try to drive the show, he just fucking takes it and runs with it. I'm doing a bit right now, Nick. Don't get mad.
All right.
Just say what you're gonna say.
Whatever. Before I take my shot, we will record another pod either Wednesday or Thursday with our NFL predictions. We also need to do the fucking map thing at some point, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe I'll print out, if I remember, you can text me to remind me to print out a map when I'm
out. Well, you're
going to
print it. I'll literally text you tonight.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll see it. Maybe I won't. Who knows?
Oh, my God. We'll I just have to walk over to your parents' house and tell them to fucking
print. Honestly, if you walk in there and be like, hey, can I use your printer? My dad would probably be like, ah, fuck. But my mom would be like, I don't care. Fine.
All right. Yeah, so we will be doing our NFL predictions. I don't really see the first game impacting our predictions too much, but yeah,
hey, we'll come back. You know what? My Super Bowl pick is not going to be the Eagles, and it's not going to be the Cowboys, so I'm telling you that right now.
It doesn't matter. Not even the Cowboys to make, or not even the Eagles to make it to the Super Bowl?
Well, maybe. Maybe they can make it to the Super Bowl, but I'm not going to pick them to win no matter what they do against
Week 1. That's part of my prediction.
Okay, the only reason it would be impacted is if Jalen Hurts gets ran over by a bus in that first game. And clearly, they have Matt Eberflus as the defensive coordinator, and as you just spoke of, their superstar just got traded, so their defense is going to suck.
Yeah.
Now, he could tear his ACL. That could be possible, and then it could be fucked. But honestly, the Eagles are so talented where you put me back there, and I can get them to 8 wins.
Also, Eagles almost fired next year, aren't you? Like, years ago, and he won the Super Bowl next year, which
he's Kalen DeBoer. He's like Ryan Day. Let Ryan Day lose to Michigan and lose to, they don't play Nebraska this year, so can't say that. Let him lose to Illinois and Michigan this year and see what happens. Hot seat. And he just won a title.
Yeah.
Let Nick Sirianni go 8-8 or 8-9.
Let's see
what happens.
Yeah. Also, underrated thought, but it seemed like in that playoff game, a lot of those players kind of gave up on him. I know no one really wants to talk about that, but it did feel that way. Granted, somehow he turned that miracle around, but yes. All right, I will take my shot. All right. My shot is don't overreact to Week 1. Yes. He's giving me that look.
He didn't steal my take, but he's been on my ass about, like...
It may have seemed like we've overreacted to Week 1, which maybe we have, but we also got to remember, it's a long season. Things change. Not everyone has a strong Week 1 performance, but there is still plenty of time to turn around, and same thing goes for you. You may not have the strongest, the strongest start that you wanted, but don't forget, it's never too late to turn it around. Don't let Week 1 impact the rest of your life. Just turn it around and make that strong start.
To go off that, people need to remember every year Week 1s are weird. You can have these thoughts that you're going to beat your team that should be on paper way worse than you by 27 points, and it could be a 17-point game.
Also, you're
or maybe you beat them by a field goal when you're favored by 6.5, and people freak out and the quarterback sucks and blah blah blah. Guys, it's Week 1.
Also,
survive and advance in Week 1. Style points in Weeks 2 to 3, and then you get in conference play, and then you know what teams are.
Also, remember, gambling lines aren't actually predictions of how much better a team is. They're just trying to get the bets as close to 50-50 as they possibly can. That is what the gambling line is mainly for. Also, coordinator changes. Sometimes we're running a new offense, sometimes we're running a new defense. Things may change. It may take some time for the players to implement those changes.
This is for college, too. They're young. Okay, unless you have a team full of seniors, they're pretty fucking young.
Yeah, you should not be betting your hopes on a bunch of 18 to 20 year olds.
You said this earlier. From college in Week 1 to Week 10, huge amounts of growth. In the NFL, there's growth, but it's not as exponential.
It's not as drastic, yes.
So,
development's also not linear.
It'll be interesting to see. But when these teams lose and choke, it's funny as fuck. Shout out to you, Kansas State. You held on by the tip of a ball. Shout out to you, Bama, for just fucking getting your doors ran off.
North Dakota, I hopped on it, and they let me down. Alec is distracted by
my take.
Virginia Tech Brandon.
My take, the shot, is going to be a sports one for once. Punt returners, do not catch the fucking ball inside the 10-yard lines, you fools. Why? Unless there's like 7 fucking dudes back there, trying to get the ball and down it, let it bounce into the end zone. Maybe it takes a good punter bounce. Maybe it doesn't. But you know what sucks? If you fucking muff it, and then they get it for a touchdown, or they down it at the 7, and they have the ball at the 7-yard line, and you just have to walk back there like a little bitch because you just muffed a punt. Why does this make no sense? And yes, Nick, I know what you're going to bring up, that stupid Nebraska player, Cam Taylor-Britt, who is somehow a good cornerback in the NFL now. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Catching the ball at the 2-yard line like a fucking dumbass. I don't know how coaches let these kids do this, but it happens in the NFL too. It's like when they get the ball back, their brains go off and they don't realize, hey, I can let this one go. But I think it's because if you're a punt returner, you have to be an insane person because you have 10 dudes that are just fucking jacked out of their minds sprinting full speed down at you while you're trying to catch this ball that is weird and hard to catch.
College, I kind of get it, because usually for punt returners, it's usually a better player. Usually in college, they aren't using like one of their worst players as their punt returners. The NFL, I guess. Actually, on the table. For the NFL, I kind of can see it as well, because they usually don't use one of their good players. They usually use one of their worst players. It's a punt return, and it's usually like their one moment to shine, and they're just trying to make the biggest play that they possibly can. But then if they fuck it up, they're cut anyway. If they don't do anything, they're probably cut anyway. So I guess the best shot's to hopefully return it for a touchdown or something, or get like a big return and fucking hopefully the coach like puts them in for like more reps at like DB or receiver or whatever fucking position they play. Usually DB receiver, maybe running back. Maybe they might get couple more like touches, but I see it from that point of view. I guess the college point of view, usually it's a better player, so I guess usually they don't really need to take that risk, but probably because they are a better player, they just believe that they can just do more. But yeah,
that's Nick, my opinion on that. Guess what, last podcast we're gonna do without the NFL season going. Probably, unless we do it Wednesday, which at this point, I'll say that on Wednesday anyway. Great time of year, Nick. We had a full week of college football. We're 6 days away from another Nebraska football game. We're 7 days away from a full NFL slate. And we're 8 days away from Chicago Bears football. Have a great night, everybody. This has been the Take the Shot.